But I want to bring in Dr. Stuart Press first and get his take on this. He's a political science lecturer with Simon Fraser University. He, like all of us, have watched the meteoric rise of John Horgan, the backbencher, to John Horgan, the premier of British Columbia, one of the most popular in all of Canada, according to polling, who has decided to leave on his own terms. Dr. Press, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Adam. I'm doing well, thanks.
Your thoughts, John Horgan.
I think it is quite rare to see a leader leave on his own terms, as Mr. Horgan is doing when he is, as you just mentioned, going out on top. And so it's worth pausing just for a moment to notice that this is quite a smart idea for a politician to do. And it's in some ways more surprising that more politicians don't do something similar. But Mr. Horgan has always been a little bit different as a leader. He is also, as we saw most recently in the announcement and reversal of the Royal BC Museum, been a politician who has been willing to be seen to make mistakes and then apologize for them and then try to move on from them. And so he is an unusual politician and has long been such. And I think it will be difficult for the party to find someone to exactly fill that role, to build that kind of trust that he has had with British Columbians. They seem very comfortable with him as leader, not that he is perfect, but that he is doing his best to represent British Columbians.
How is it that some politicians can seem to establish this remarkably wide latitude in unorthodox behavior? And, oh no, there he goes again. Everybody sort of chuckles to themselves and rolls their eyes and we all move on. Whereas other politicians seem to be held to these exacting standards that are utterly and mercilessly unforgivable. Horgan seems to have carved himself out a really wide space where he can say just about anything at these press conferences and people will be mad for about 20 minutes, but then everybody moves on. How does that happen?
It's a good question, and I don't know if there's any particular single answer for it, but it is clear his willingness to admit when he has made a mistake and to acknowledge it and to show that he is actually trying to do differently. So when it's one thing to apologize for a mistake and then to show no sign that you've really learn anything from the experience and continue to do the exact same thing again and again, and that can wear out its welcome quite quickly with voters. But in Mr. Horgan's case, it seems like he has convinced voters that though he is flawed in these ways, even to the point of dropping the occasional F-bomb in the legislature, that he is...
I'm sorry, but he did, and he got away with it. He said that if his mom was still around, she would have cleaned out his mouth with Irish Spring soap, and all of us went, ah! And that was the end of that episode, and we all move on the next day.
That's right, and it's because voters ultimately care more about having someone who they think has their back, has their interests at heart. And so when he is willing to say on another issue, such as the Royal BC Museum announcement, but wow, I really messed this up, and I am going to do something different because I have heard you. That sense that he is really listening to voters and that he is really responsive to their needs, that kind of pragmatic streak, I think, is an important part of the formula as well. It's not change for the sake of change. It is cautious incrementalism. That's been a hallmark of this government as well. It is, as NDP governments go, it is quite a centrist, quite a moderate approach to governance. We see changes on the margins on all kinds of important files, like housing, the attention to the poison drugs crisis and the overdose crisis in the province. And the government has been criticized for not moving faster on a lot of these issues, but it is moving at a pace that ensures that most British Columbians are comfortable with what's going on. It's not too much too quickly, and I think that's been a part of the formula as well.
Remember years ago, John Horgan told me, and this was back when Blair Lextrom was also in the BC legislature, to tell you how long ago it was, that Horgan saw himself as the sort of interface between the right and the left in terms of all the sitting MLAs. He said that he thought of himself as the most right-leaning member of NDP caucus, and in those days, he said that Blair Lextrom, he thought, was the most left-leaning member of BC Liberal caucus. What you mentioned in terms of the NDP becoming more centrist, it also managed to rack up its most, I think, decisive win in British Columbia history in 2020. Are those two things related?
I think they are. When we see, and this is not just a BC phenomenon, when we look across Canada, when we see the NDP winning elections, and this is at the provincial level, it tends to be with pragmatic, relatively centrist government. Government that is progressive in orientation, but also cautious in approach, trying to find, keeping one foot in the center of the politics of that particular province. And it varies from one province to the next where that center is. But you look at Rachel Notley in Alberta, winning that unprecedented victory a few years ago in Alberta. She did so by being a champion of the oil industry, and then not something necessarily you would associate with left of center politics in the early 21st century. You look at a little further back, you go to Gary Doer or Roy Romano in the other Prairie provinces. And again, it is this kind of pragmatic governance that allows them to win election after election. And that is really frustrating for those who join the NDP to try to transform government, to try to transform society, who really have strong ideal sense of the direction the country or the province, I should say, needs to go. But when the NDP have enjoyed significant electoral success, they have brought along a significant portion of the electorate, and that has meant putting the brakes on from time to time.
In terms of successors, in leadership races, sometimes at the very beginning, just about everybody can call it. In terms of the BC Liberal leadership race, most of the smart money immediately went to Kevin Falcon in terms of the connections, in terms of just his ability to have the existing members of caucus support him, and indeed, he ended up winning that race decisively. When we take a look at the NDP, is there anybody in that caucus that you can think of who can beat David Eby?
I think there are a number of names that will get bandied about, but I think it's pretty clear that Mr. Eby is the front runner if he puts his hat in the ring, and I think he will. I think you would look at perhaps some of the other younger MLAs as being able to put forward a sense of how to connect with the different groups of voters and try to build the party for another generation, although David Eby is not that old himself either, just in his mid-40s. But you may look at MLAs like Ravi Kalon, Bowen Ma, perhaps someone who can really try to claim to speak for a younger demographic, and to try to say that this is a party that is not just competitive today, but is going to be competitive in future decades. And so that might be one angle to attack an EB campaign. But I think given the way in which Mr. Eby has been at the forefront of crucial file after crucial file for this government, the sort of the minister for everything at times, whether it's housing, whether it's ICBC reform, whether it's money laundering, he has been the one answering the most difficult questions. I think he has built a pretty impressive resume. And the fact that he was being bandied about for leadership the last time around when Mr. Horgan won means that I think he has the top slot, absolutely.
What about Nathan Cullen? Nathan Cullen's a superstar once upon a time, but he hasn't had much prominence in the Horgan cabinet.
No, and I mean, he has made the transition from federal politics to provincial politics, but that transition has been somewhat turbulent. Entering into the provincial scene, even his nomination for the provincial riding of Sykin, it was surrounded in controversy where another candidate was shunted aside, and he's had occasional controversial hot mic moment. These sorts of things have bubbled up, and so he has really not had a lot of traction. And I think given that this party has such a strong foundation here built up through the Horgan leadership, I think it's really tough for somebody who is not at the sort of center of that circle already, close to the center, is going to have a tough time breaking through. It's a sort of, if things aren't broke, then don't try to fix them here. And so don't look to somebody who is a relatively recent arrival on the provincial scene or someone who is not currently at the senior levels of cabinet who have been a party to the most important decisions.
Dr. Stuart Prest, always appreciate your thoughts on how things are going to shake out in terms of BC politics. John Horgan calling it quits. He'll stay a member of the Legislative Assembly for his riding, but a process will begin in the near future to select a new leader for the BC New Democrats, who will be the premier, presumably, into the next provincial election. Any final thoughts for now, Doctor?
I think it is too soon to call the race. I think it will be a wide open affair, but I think it will be a real marked contrast with some of the other leadership campaigns we're seeing in the country right now. The UCP campaign in Alberta next door, the Federal Conservative campaign, they are going to be really knock them down, drag them out affairs, or already have been. And I think in this case, it is going to be much more a case of putting forward different positive visions for the party, but there isn't going to have that same kind of vitriol because, after all, this is a party that is relatively successful. And so we'll see candidates trying to position themselves as being able to continue this tradition that's run, but also building for the future. So it's going to be a very different tone that we're seeing elsewhere in the country, I think.
All right. Stuart Press, thanks for your time. As always, talk again soon.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.